Hi, I hope you're having a really terrific day at your sale this Super Sale Sunday. It's always a very, very special day when we get together like this on a Sunday in our sales. Very different from our usual Sunday getting together. And I know people tell me that this is one of their favorite Sundays of the whole year. There's just something very special about it. And I know as you get together with friends and you eat together, I hope you're going to eat like we do in our sale, that you'll have a really, really terrific time. When we get to this time of the year, of course, it's the end of the year and it's the beginning of a new year. And as we come to the end of a year, we look back and we remember and we remind ourselves of the good things that happened in the past year. And we also get excited about the good things that are going to happen in 2019, the next year. And for this next year, we've got some really exciting things lined up. One of the things I'm really, really excited about is the 25th anniversary of the Watoto Children's Choir and the influence that they've had around the world. And I get to travel. I really do. It's exciting to travel. And around the world, wherever I go, people know about Watoto through the Watoto Children's Choir. And I think we should say thank you to God for giving us an opportunity to preach the gospel, kids preaching the gospel around the world to people from every nation, and they're telling the story of how they have been separated from their fathers and they became orphans. And someone picked them up and gave them a new life. And then of course, our children tell people sitting in the audience, you know, all of us in a sense are orphans. We've been separated from our Heavenly Father. And we don't have the kind of life that we should have until we are reconnected with our Father. And you know, as they tell their story and they're preaching the gospel, and we're seeing hundreds, literally hundreds of people all around the world, thousands every year, coming to Jesus through the story of the children. Wow, that really, really excites me. It excites me that little boys and girls that were abandoned babies, some of them premature, some of them dumped on a garbage pile or left at a police station or, you know, maybe left at a church, and they come to us and we're able to give them back their lives. Literally, they would have died if we hadn't intervened. Some of them are really sick and they get their lives back together again. And by the time they're two, they're ready to go into one of our Watoto children's villages. And then maybe a couple of years later, 5 years later, they get chosen to travel on a choir. And then they tell their story. Wow. Isn't it an amazing thing? God takes the least likely and he picks them up out of the dust and he makes them sit, as the Bible says, in high places with important people. And so they preach, sometimes in palaces to queens, sometimes in parliaments to prime ministers and members of parliaments. Well, isn't God amazing? He likes to take people who've been hurt and people who've been broken and put their lives back together again and give them a story to tell. In fact, every one of us have a story to tell. Every one of us has a story. Your story is special. Your story is unique. My story is special. My story is unique. We sometimes listen to the stories of other people, and some of them are dramatic stories of salvation from really, really bad things. You know, drug abuse or a life of immorality, or they were thieves and they were in jail. And, you know, we hear stories, amazing stories, and we think that those are the most important stories. But you know what? Your story is the most important story. And you have a story to tell. And whether you've been saved out of a life of being a thief, a car thief, and murdering people, and or whether you just know you were a sinner, you didn't do some of those really wicked, bad things, the same consequence for the bad, bad people is the consequence for pretty ordinary people. We all deserve the judgment of God. We all deserve to die. But Jesus loves us, and he paid the price for us on the cross, and he forgives us, and he sets us free, and he gives us new life. And the transformation for you, if your story is fairly ordinary, is just as dramatic as the story for a person who's saved from some other circumstances. So never look down on who you are. Never look down on the salvation that is yours. It's an amazing story. You me, we all were on our way to hell, and we deserved it. But Jesus forgave us, gave us new life, gave us an opportunity to become a member of his family. He wrote our names down in the book of life, and he has reserved a place for us. In fact, Jesus said, I'm going away to prepare a place for you so that where I am, there you can be also. Wow, isn't that amazing? You don't have to have a super dramatic story. You, me, ordinary people, sinners, we're loved, and God has a super plan for us. And so I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you about that. It's not just whether you're an orphan child who ended up going on a choir and telling stories. And I get to hear the stories. It's really, really exciting. But there's another thought that I really want to, and I don't know why, just for me it is. Every time we come to the end of a year and we begin with a new year, it's about making some fresh commitments to God, making some resolutions. You know, it's a kind of a milestone. And at that milestone, you say, you know, I need to remind myself about what's important. And so we make some fresh decisions again to start the new year, doing some things that we neglected to do, or we forgot to do, or we didn't want to do. And or even maybe sometimes our resolutions is we're going to stop doing some of the things that we have been doing. And I know when I begin to talk about this, there is a message out today, the message of the grace of God. You don't really don't have to worry so much about that. You need to live in the freedom that Christ has for you. And I believe that message, because salvation comes only through the grace of God. And none of us deserve what God has done. But this is the thought that I want to leave with you. Once you come to Jesus, it's important for us to recognize that the only way we're going to be saved is because of what Jesus did on the cross. But as I come to the end of the year, I'm always reminded about the fact that I am responsible for how I live my life. And that one day I'm going to stand before Jesus at the judgment seat of Christ, and I'm going to have to give an account for my life. Now, I'm saying this because sometimes the grace message kind of pushes that out of the way. It really doesn't matter what we do. It does matter what we do. And I want to just take a few moments to talk about this from the Bible. Paul talks about this in 2 Corinthians. He's defending in 2 Corinthians his apostleship. He is an apostle called by God. And some of the people are following Paul, and some of the people are following Apollos. They say, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos. And there's a bit of an argument about that. And then Paul begins, as he defends himself, and he says he has this amazing apostleship that has been given to him by God. And I wanted just you to see it with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I think it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In chapter 3, he says, do I have to commend myself? Do I need a letter of recommendation? And then he says, no. He says, you are my letter. So what he did had an impact. What he did brought about a result. Changed people. So he did something. God calls us not just to have faith in Jesus and receive salvation. He calls us to do something with our lives. And that what he did was, he was responding to the call of God to have a ministry. And he says this ministry in chapter 4, I received this ministry by the mercy of God. And so I have renounced, he said, disgraceful, underhanded ways. I refuse to practice cunningly or tamper with God's word. Why is Paul talking like this? Because he knows that he can't mishandle the incredible gift of salvation and ministry that God has given to him. Because if he mishandles it, he's going to have to answer to God for it. This is much more than receiving salvation by the grace of God. It's about being faithful to what God has called us to do. And if we're faithful, the Bible teaches us, we receive a reward. And if we're unfaithful, we lose a reward. We don't lose our salvation. We get our salvation by grace, but we lose a reward. I want you to see it in the Bible. Now, this is not condemnation. This is liberty. This is about coming into the freedom of knowing that I can live for Jesus And if I live well for Jesus, and I do what's right, he's watching, he's recording, and you know what? He's got a reward for me. So Paul talks about this. He says, I have this treasure, this ministry, in a jar of clay, his physical body. And he says, I've died to myself. He says, for we who live are always being given over to the death, to death for Jesus' sake. Paul said, I die daily. But he also said, for me to live is Christ. We have to die to ourselves. I'm talking about Christians. I'm not talking about coming to Jesus and getting salvation. Now that we're Christians, we have to die. We have to. Jesus talked to his disciples about taking up our cross daily and following Jesus. This is not a popular message today. But I'm reminded when I come to the end of the year, 2018, and the beginning of a new year, Gary, you need to pull up your socks. You need to take an account. You need to do some spiritual inventory in your life. Because, Gary, one day you're going to stand before God to give an account of what you did. That's why when I come to Kampala, I want to live a life of integrity. I want people in this city, when they hear my name, not to say there's someone who mishandles the Word of God, or mishandles the church, or mishandles money, or there's a really proud man, and he's arrogant. And I want my life to be a reflection of Jesus. This is what Paul says. For we who live are always being given over to the death, to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. All of us need to live like Jesus. People need to see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. If you take that grace message and you push it too far, and you say there's nothing, we have nothing to do with works, you're forgetting one of the most important things in the Bible. And that is, while we are saved by faith through the grace of God, for the rest of our lives, we're going to be held accountable, and we are going to be judged for what we did in our bodies, whether we were faithful to God or not. And that's what Paul is talking about. Now, when we come to the end of a year and to the start of a new year, I remind myself about this. Paul is having here an eternal perspective. And the eternal perspective, what's going to happen eternally in the future, is determined by what we do here now on the earth. It's important what we do. So then Paul goes on. He's talking about, he says in chapter 5, and now I'm getting to the point, right? We know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God. He's talking about his body. One day, our physical bodies are going to die, but God is going to give us a new body. Paul said that to be absent from the body is to be present with Christ. He's going to give us a spiritual body, a new body, a body like Jesus. He says, while I'm here, I'm groaning. So, I'm of good courage because I've got an eternal perspective. We know that while we're in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and be at home with the Lord. He was ready to go to heaven whenever that was to take place. But now listen, this is such an important verse. It struck me when I was a teenager, changed the way I decided to live my life. And I hope it'll strike you right now as you listen to this, and it will change your life. Whether we are at home or away, in other words, whether I'm in my body or I eventually go to heaven, we make it our aim to please Him. You know, if you get that grace message and you push it too far, people say, you don't have to please God. Jesus pleased God. Jesus was judged on your place. That's true when it comes to salvation. But it's not true when it comes to being faithful to the ministry that God has called you to. Faithful to being the person that God has called you to be. To be the influence in your community that God has called you to be. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please Him, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. Wow! Is that talking about salvation? No. It's talking about when you are faithful to God, and you live that life of integrity, and you do what you're supposed to do, and you will stand, we will all stand before Jesus one day, and we're going to give an account, and he is then going to reward us on the basis of the judgment. And for some, they're going to suffer loss. They'll be saved, but they're going to suffer loss. That's what Paul is talking about. And this is for what we're doing in our bodies, whether good or evil. He's talking to Christians. And sometimes we get this grace message. It is the right message. The grace message is the true message when it comes to salvation. But we do have to do something. We're saved to do good works. Paul also, he defends the same thing over in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I want you to see it with me, if you would, there. He's also addressing his apostleship. And there's this fight between the people. I follow Paul, I follow Apollos. He says, who's Apollos? Who's Paul? We're only servants through whom you believed as the Lord assigned to each. Each of us have a different calling from God to do a different thing. I'm not going to be answering to God for what someone else was called to do. And someone else is not going to be called to answer for what I do. We're all going to answer for what we were called to do. I planted, Apollos watered. I'm not in competition with any other preacher in this city. God called me to do something. And I'm going to be faithful to that. Because I'm going to stand before Jesus one day, and he's not going to ask me about somebody else's ministry or somebody else's calling. He's going to ask me about mine. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. It's never, you know, I'm pastoring a great church. I can't boast. I can't brag. Say, look at what I've done. This is look what God did. And it's an honor for me to do it. Why am I talking this way? Because if we're ever going to change this city, if we're ever going to make a difference in this nation, then each of us are called to something different by God, and we need to be faithful to that. I'm not going to be judged by God for political activity, or economic activity, or medical activity, or business activity, because I'm not a businessman. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a politician. I'm a preacher. But some of you are doctors and lawyers and teachers and politicians, and you're going to stand before God, and God's going to ask you what you did for him with the ministry that he gave you. It wasn't standing up and preaching on a Sunday, but it was getting up on a Monday and living a life of integrity. And you're going to answer. Why am I talking this way? I'm talking this way because it's so important for us to recognize in a world when we're being bombarded by just a grace message that we recognize there's much more to it. And so Paul goes on and he says, so neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each, listen to this, each will receive his wages according to his labor. It's as plain as the nose on my face. We're all going to receive a reward from God. So Paul says, I'm a master. I'm a master builder through the grace of God. I laid a foundation. Someone else is building on it. Let each one take care how he builds on it. For no one can lay a foundation other than the one that is laid, which is Jesus. Paul said, I'm a builder, master builder. I laid the foundation, Jesus. There is no other foundation. And then he says this. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation, on Christ, the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is more than the church. It's what God's doing in the community. If anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it. What you've done will be exposed on the day that Jesus, the righteous judge, judges the nations. Because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. So, I'm a Christian. I'm a follower of Jesus. I'm going to heaven because of what Jesus did. But if I'm faithful to the call that God gave to me, and I'm a man of integrity and truth, and I work hard, And I do it because I want to please God. I will stand before Him one day, and He will give me a reward. But what happens to people who are unfaithful? If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself be saved, but only as through fire. You can't tell me that people who are faithful to God, they love God, they go to church, they're a part of their cell, they're faithful doing ministry in their community, they bring their tithes on a regular basis, they're generous with other people. If they're needed, they're volunteering, they're active. You can't tell me that those people are going to be rewarded the same as people who never even bothered to show up, who never ever opened their bank account and gave to the work of God, who were never available for counseling other people or doing volunteer work in the church. There's a difference, and God knows that difference. And when I come to the end of the year, I remind myself, everything I have comes from God, my salvation and the opportunity to serve Him. And I need to pull up my socks. I need to get real with myself. And I want to remind you too. I'm in this nation because I want to see this nation changed. I'm in this nation because God called me to be in this nation. I'm not here for my health. I'm not here for my wealth. I'm here because God called me. I want to stand before Him one day and hear Him say, "Well done, Gary, good and faithful servant. Enter into your rest." I don't want Him to say to me, "You know, I made myself available to you. I gave you the Holy Spirit. I gave you the Word of God. I said I'd stand with you, but you didn't do anything with it. You went your own way. You did your own thing. Go on, get out of my sight." There are going to be people who say, "Lord, Lord, we did this, we did the other thing." He says, "I never knew you." Because the motives were all wrong. The Bible says there's a day coming when Jesus, the righteous judge, will judge even the intents of our hearts. Every idle word will be accounted for, the Bible says. What am I trying to say? I'm saying, as we enter into a new year, into 2019, Let's do what we can to please God. Let's ask ourselves whether we're being faithful. Why am I saying this? I'm your pastor. I love you. I want to see this city. I want to see this nation changed. Jesus talked to His disciples. He said, "If anyone wants to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." We're having to do something here. We're having to respond to Jesus and die to self. That's what He says you have to do. "What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul?" Here it is, the same thought again about the judgment seat of Christ. "For the Son of Man is going to come with His angels in the glory of His Father, and then He will repay each person according to what he's done." There it is again. It's not a judgment for salvation. It's a judgment for what you have done with what God gave you. You're a steward. Jesus used the story of stewards. The owner came back and said, "Give an account for your stewardship." Jesus talked about judging the nations in Matthew chapter 25. He says, "The Son of Man is going to come. He's going to judge the nations. He's going to separate the goats on the one side, the sheep on the one side." Who are the goats? The goats are those who have rejected doing the right thing. Let me read it for you just momentarily. I know I'm taking a long time here, and I'm a little passionate about this, but it's such an important message that I think has been forgotten in Matthew chapter 25. Jesus says, "When the Son of Man comes in His glory, all the angels with Him, He will sit on His glorious throne. Before Him will be gathered all the nations. He will separate the people one from another. As a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. Place the sheep on the right, the goats on the left. Then the King will say to those on the right, Come, thou who art blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. I was hungry, you fed me. I was naked, you clothed me. I was in prison, you visited me. When? Whenever you did it to the least of these, you did it to me. God says there's a reward for the things that they did. And then he says to those on the left, listen to this. Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. When I was hungry, you did nothing. When I was naked, you didn't clothe me. When I was in prison, you didn't visit me. There is a difference between being faithful to God and receiving a reward, or being unfaithful to God and having your reward removed from you. Hey, this is the Bible. I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about what it means once you've been saved. It's an important message. And I come to the end of the year and I remind myself of this. So I want to remind you too. I want to remind you too. How do you drive your car in the city? Do you have authority and you use your authority to get bribes? You better quake in your boots, because there's a judgment day coming. And you're going to have to give an account. You're going to have to answer. Are you stealing money? Are you lying? Are you living an immoral life? You're never going to be saved by stopping to doing those things. You're going to be saved by trusting Jesus, receiving salvation by grace. But after that, we need to ask ourselves, how are we living our lives? I'm reminding myself, okay? And as a part of this, I feel it's my responsibility to remind you. So, as we come to the end of this message, would you sit down in your cells and ask the questions amongst yourselves? Wow, what does this mean for me? What does this mean for us? What does this mean for how we live in this city? What does this mean for how we live in our families? How does this affect my job? We need to live such good lives that people see our good works and glorify our Father, which is in heaven. Again, let me close. This has got nothing to do with getting saved, but it's got everything to do with living the Christian life. God bless you. Have a great day. Hope you have a good discussion. Happy New Year.